You're listening to the Tilehurst End Podcast by Reading fans for Reading fans.
Hello and welcome to the Tilehurst End Podcast with your host Mark Mayer. And as it is the international break, we thought we'd go and do something a little bit different and have an interview with Jordan Obita, the Reading FC left back who has spent the last couple of years out injured with a horrible knee injury that he suffered against Hull in the Championship and has come back this season into the first team and has been almost back to his best, you could say. And well, quite frankly, it's very interesting that we recorded this interview just before the Millwall game, so just before Jordan scored his first ever goal at the Medeski. So there has to be a bit of foresight sort of taken into account as you listen to us discuss long range pingers that he managed to produce just a couple of days after the chat that we had. So without further ado, let's go and listen to the Tilehurst End Podcast with Jordan Obita.
Be loud and be proud and back the boys and make some noise. Come on, you ours!
Jordan Obita, welcome to the Tilehurst End. Thank you very much for joining us today. And we're talking just before the weekend game, and you're hoping to fully recovered effectively from the knee now, or would you say you're kind of nearing-ish full recovery?
Yeah, my knee's fully there. Just obviously it takes a long time to get that match fitness and sharpness back. Obviously, 2 years out is a long, very long time, so I'm not expecting to get that back straight away. But like I always do, I was trying my best. So
yeah, no, it's been how's the process this season? Because you've come in, have you effectively had to have a pre-season over the last couple of months, or were you able to have the sort of pre-season with the rest of the guys?
When I went into Marbella, I had my own training, and then towards the end I joined in, but probably came back quicker than expected. I think sometimes people might have wanted a bit longer pre-season for myself, but the manager at the time wanted me to come back because I looked good in training, so he wanted to come back and try and get my fitness with the team instead of doing it away from the team. So
Yeah, and it's interesting because we've got now Mark Bowen as your manager now, and he's spoken recently about having a bit of a nastier edge about the team. Have you, in training, has that come out as well? You've been a bit worried that some more challenges have been flying in than usual, and he's been a bit more vulnerable, or?
No, I never worry. I know my knee's strong. In games, I tackle, and training, I tackle a lot, so I never worry about myself. Obviously, now we're sort of mixing it up a little bit in our style of play. Sometimes you play long, sometimes you play short, so when you're playing short passing, like nice football, you don't really get to do the nasty side. But now we know we have to try and mix it up and try and win the first and second ball. So now we've got to be a bit more horrible in the play.
Is that something that you enjoy as a player, getting the chance to stick a couple of challenges in and not have to fear sort of recriminations from the manager?
Yeah, like I like a tackle. You just hope you don't get a yellow quick early doors. But it's part of the game, isn't it? To try and be physical and try and win every single battle you can, whether it's a team or individual.
Yeah, how has it been under the new manager then? Because I know that Charlie Adams said that the training has sort of been a bit more intense, and I feel like that kind of is a natural sort of thing when a new manager comes in to kind of ratchet it up a little bit.
Well, every manager is different in every training session or the way they want to play. Training's been good, and it's what I enjoy. What we have at the moment, and try and make sure we perform well in training to do well in on a Saturday.
And how are your sort of emotions when Jose Gomez left? Was it a case of with understanding sort of the way that things were going? Because it seems like the owners are very ambitious, and even though we weren't, in too much trouble, obviously we weren't really near the top of the table anyway.
Yeah, it's not nice to obviously see anyone leave their role at the club. But unfortunately, that's the part of football, isn't it? When if you're not getting results, unfortunately, the manager is the one who gets the axe, unfortunately. But hopefully now we can get a run of results, and hopefully it won't be the same for this manager.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be an interesting period. We started quite well with the QPR draw being our last result now, with the Forest game being postponed. What, you weren't in the squad for the QPR game? So how did you take that in? Were you at the stadium or?
Yeah, I was at the stadium. At the moment, I'm not playing two games on the bounce. It's probably a bit too much at the moment because after one game, it probably takes me a couple of days to recover. But every day I'm getting stronger, I try to build that fitness to be able to try and play as many games as I can.
Yeah, and of course you had to come back against Plymouth, and that was a bit of a surprise as a fan actually when you were named in the starting 11, because you hadn't really, I don't think you'd appeared for the first team before then, since the injury, and what was the circumstance of that? Has that come about?
I was shocked myself. I wasn't expecting to be in the squad. I was hoping I was going to be in the squad, but not in the starting 11. But I was, and I thought it was good that we won, and it's nice to get a couple of minutes under my 9 minutes under my belt and build from there.
When did you hear about that you were going to be starting that game?
The day before, in the shape that I knew that I was going to be starting. So, and for me, it was great because that's when I finally got to play football again.
Mm-hmm. Was it a difficult morning after waking up and feeling your legs a bit more tired than usual?
Yeah, after that, full body was pretty much a bit tired, but nowadays it's not as bad.
Yeah, tell me about your sort of day-to-day life you had when you were out. Was it difficult, sort of, obviously, because it was such a sudden injury, sort of having to switch off and the way of the rehab working? How was your sort of day-to-day sort of life changed from that?
It was difficult at first because obviously I used to train from 9 to maybe 1:30, but my days were slightly changed and longer. At first it was going okay, and then there was times where it wasn't going okay, and you just never knew if you're like going to play again, or you was hoping that something was going to work. You try and find a solution somewhere, but it never really happened. But unfortunately for me, it took about nearly 2 years to find it, and that was unfortunately another surgery. But going back in time, like, it's made me a lot stronger mentally, physically, and hopefully now I can build on and get more sharper, and my fitness get much better than it is, and I can kick on from that.
Yeah, you say about the potential chances of never playing again. Did someone ever say to you, you have like a 20% chance, for example, or what was that told you about?
No, never. When I got to Christmas last year, no one knew what was the reason why my knee was reacting how it was, and then I was in the physio room. I said to the doctor, is there any point anymore? Because I try every single, everything they offered me, really, and nothing was working. So they said to me, one more surgery might be able to work. They can't guarantee anything. At first, I was like, I'm not having the operation, because no one wants to go for 3 operations, and if it wasn't guaranteed to work, then for me, there was no point. And I had a 2-week break, where I can go away and think about things, and I just thought, okay, let's just do one more. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, then let's get plan B. And thank God, it worked, and I've managed to kick on from there. And after, I'd say about 2 months, I'd say that's probably the closest I've been to knowing I'm going to return to play football. So, and I have to say thank you to everybody in the physio department and sports science, because without them, I probably wouldn't be able to come back either.
When you say not being able to work out, what was kind of wrong with the knee? How would you be able to explain what kind of was going on, and what was the actual issue in the end?
Yeah, so my knee would be really hot, and it would swell. It would swell that much that when we were draining fluid out, it would be like 80 mils of fluid draining out my knee. Sometimes that's not natural fluid, and sometimes it's blood. And if it's blood, it's not good. So it's even now, I have a little bit of fluid in there, but it's nothing compared to what I have previously. And even trying to bend it, I would be able to bend it past 90 degrees.
Oh wow.
So yeah. So I'd be struggling to bend down or anything, and even do my rehab, I wouldn't be able to. Sometimes I would run outside, I couldn't run properly, all because there was something wrong in my knee, which that's why I also changed my surgeon, because I felt like he might have missed something. I wanted to change and get a different pair of eyes on my knee.
Yeah. And you went to Philadelphia as well. What was the sort of reasoning, circumstances behind that?
But at that point, before I was probably close to maybe getting close to training, sort of in my rehab. So I went out there, got some hard training out there with a guy called Bill Knowles, who's worked with a lot of NFL players and athletes around the world. Andy Murray was there. So I went out there, done some training, come back, and in his eyes, I was pretty close. But I come back and my knee was huge again. So we had to shut down again and go and see the surgeon, and then that's pretty much my life, really. Rehab, surgeon, rehab, surgeon. So, but I'm just grateful now that that's not the case anymore.
Yeah, and I noticed that on social media sharing that your family grew in that time, and that was that something that with your firstborn coming along, was that a really good time for you and something to also occupy, I suppose, the kind of long days off?
Yeah, I've planned to have a family, and that was a massive plus for me because it gave me another edge in life to work even harder for my son. And before that, all I had was negative, so that was a massive plus to me to drive me on.
Yeah, and I've noticed also your wife is very vocal in support on Twitter and with the club and everything else with that. I suppose that having that really strong unit must have been so important for the injury.
Yeah, massive, because like I said, like, nothing was happening great in the club for me with my knee. So anything outside the club was a big bonus for me to not let my family like see like the bad side, you know, and always try and be happy, and there's always someone out there who's worse than I was. So that's how I always saw things, you know. Don't always try and be negative all the time and just be happy that you're breathing.
Well, that's the thing, because I noticed that obviously on Twitter and everything, especially like yourself, and I was going through your Twitter earlier, you kind of tweet a little bit less than you used to now, I've noticed. Maybe that is because you've got something to occupy yourself with a bit more.
I think with my rehab, I didn't want to... I'm not a sort of person who like tells the world about my life, and when something happens, like a positive thing, like me running outside, I might share it, so people know what's happening. But no, I'm not most active on social media.
Do you tend to listen to what like various people on media and everything like that say, or are you sort of someone who, when the boots come off, the sort of football world goes outside the door and?
I go home, I just want to switch off when I go and play with my son, and I don't really tend to worry about what people think or anything, because why should you be bothered about what everyone else has got to say?
Yeah,
really, because whatever happens in the football stays in the football. So
yeah, do you find that's the same in the dressing room? Do you find the various players you played with over the years are all the same like that, or there are some who are constantly on the phones?
No, there's business players who love the phones. Like when I go home, I don't want to go on my phone, because that's what the world is about nowadays. Like everyone wants to know everyone's business. So for me, like going home, there's some players who might like to tweet more than me, but that's up to them, you know. That's their life. And
yeah, I suppose I want to talk about now some of your good moments at Reading Football Club. Now we've sort of covered the injury, and I suppose one of the places to start is the 2013-14 Player of the Season award, which was, I suppose, Reading has a academy history as we're sat in the Eamon Dolan room now. And what was that as a moment for you in your early career? Where did you feel like your career was at that moment? Was that a sort of moment that you never thought you'd get to, or was that a sort of in the sort of stages that you'd always hoped to be in?
I always believed it, even from a young kid, that I was going to play football. I always had that dream that I was going to play. And for me, it happened at a club that gave me that chance, you know, to go and play first team football. And that year, you know, I just played with freedom and just played the best I could. And I was grateful enough to win an award at the end of the year.
And one of the other moments I remember is that playoff semi-final goal against Fulham. I suppose, would you say that's probably your best goal or most important goal you've scored so far?
Definitely the most important for me, because obviously a semi-final against a very good opposition, and the timing of it was great. And it was sort of, unfortunately they got an equaliser, but I thought on the day we probably deserved to get the win.
Was that the most satisfying goal? Because I know obviously the most important goal is sort of one thing, but in terms of the most satisfying goal that you score as a player, did that have the extra element, or are there sort of other ones that you can think of?
That one probably the most, because when I scored, I think it was a very good strike, and the way that, you know, the fans celebrated and the whole team gave us even more confidence that we could push forward and go to the final.
Yeah, and I suppose the final in itself, what are your kind of memories of that final? Because it really, as a fan, it was a sort of long game, as it were. Some games completely flash by, but as a fan, it took 120 minutes 0-0. It was a really sort of long watch. Did it feel like that as a player? Or?
Well, I didn't start the game, obviously, because I had the injury on my ankle. But watching from the side, I can imagine being a fan or someone at home, you know, watching it wasn't probably the best of finals to ever watch football. But I remember when I came on the pitch, it seemed a bit like two teams that didn't want to really, you know, attack too much because they're worried about the equality of both sides that they can give, you know. But 0-0 the way to penalty shootout and losing penalties was unfortunate, and hopefully we can, you know, if this year or next year or whenever, we can try and push again to try and get to the Premier League.
Yeah, well, I can say as a Reading fan that going into the playoffs isn't always the best idea. So if you can do automatic promotion, would be absolutely brilliant. As long as it's into the playoffs, we have such a dodgy record in the playoffs over the years. So yeah. any way of dodging that would be ideal. But one of the other goals I wanted to talk about was the complete long range pinger against Ipswich as well, which you almost did again against Preston the other day.
It was two years ago?
Ipswich, yeah, 2017 it was.
So yeah, me, whenever the ball comes out from a corner or set, any set piece, the first thing I think about is shoot.
Mm-hmm.
It's worst case, you hit over wide. I don't want to get the ball down and try and play in case you lose it. So the first thing in my head is just try and hit it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I have that in the locker to hit the target, so that's what I did against Preston, just thought hit the target and see what happens.
Were you a little bit jealous that Matt was the one who got the goal after that? Because he's a good striker as well.
Well, when I hit it, I saw Morrow duck, and from my view, it looked like it was going in the far corner, but then it swerved back the other way.
Mm.
And then Matt with the strikers finished, and we won the game.
And the keeper helped him out a little bit as well, didn't
he? At the end of the day, we won the game and got a clean sheet, and that's the most important thing.
Yeah, no, as ideal start. I think there's a stats in the last six Reading managers have won their first game 1-0, so it's no complaints here. Also, I was going to talk about, because as you were in that position, you've moved to fullback, which is a position which I remember you coming in as a left winger, and also remember there was perhaps a couple of years after that there was talk of you wanting to move to a central attacking midfield role. What's the circumstances that you ended up at left back, and was that always sort of where you saw yourself?
Well, I was a striker, but I asked to move to centre midfield, and that was my natural position. And then the closer I got to first team, I got pushed out wide to left midfield. Mm. A couple of games at centre midfield again, but mainly out wide. And then I think Wayne Bridge got injured one game, and then I had to play left back, and I think I played okay in the game, and I pretty much stayed there ever since. But as long as I'm playing, that's the main thing, doing a role for the team. But my favourite is obviously centre midfield, where I've played pretty much my whole life really until I think last five years. So
yeah, is that somewhere you can see yourself moving back to at some point?
Not right now, no, because everyone probably knows me more as a left back or a left wing back, but hopefully in a couple of years I might be able to when I slow down a little bit.
I was going to say once the legs go, it might be a nice sort of addition to you.
Right now, I think everyone knows me as more of a defender more than a centre midfielder.
Yeah, well, you as I say, you came through as a bit of a sort of youth team prodigy, really. How was when was that moment that you realised you were going to be a pro footballer, that you thought this is actually going to go somewhere?
I pretty much like everyone always, you know, spoke in my ear and said they always believed in me, and I always believed in myself. I never really had any doubts that I was personally myself that I wasn't going to make it, because I was always quite determined to make it, you know. And that's what I always tell young players, always believe in yourself, don't ever have any doubts, always work hard. That's the main thing you can guarantee in life, is to work hard. And then I got my chance, and all I wanted to do was take it. And I believe I did. And even still now at 20, 25, coming 26 soon, I still have the same drive to go as high as I can.
Yeah, absolutely. And you did briefly talk about having to think about Plan B during the injury, and obviously, hopefully now that's the sort of thing that's going to be pushed back a good few years. And what is your sort of, you know, Plan B, as it were, at the moment? What has always been in your mind as the post-football?
I say Plan B, but I didn't really, but for me, it would be probably going to coaching if I didn't. But I'm just really grateful I didn't have to do that.
So during the injury, any time someone said Plan B, you went, no, I'm not having Plan B.
Yeah. Oh, like I said, after the Christmas, my head was all over because I didn't know what was going to happen. But if something happened where I couldn't have played, then coaching probably would have been the next role for me. But I was hoping that it's a very long, long time away.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, as well. So I suppose in that sense as well,
I've played quite a few teammates now, quite a few different sort of quality teammates, and having, I suppose, in coaching, you have to know who's the best and who's the worst. Who are the sort of top players that you've played with over the years?
There's a lot of players. Obviously, there's Ovi, there's 50, going back, Nick Blackman, Brian Howard, technically great players. But there's a lot of players who are good at different things, you know.
Mm.
Just because you have technical ability doesn't mean you're like one of the main players. It's someone who might be very good defending, or someone who's very good at finishing, you know, like Lafondra.
Mm.
People like Kasper Gorks, who was, for me, when I first got into the team, was very important to me, because he was the sort of person who would lead, you know, and put me in a position where I had to be, or he would do like most of the talking, you know.
Yeah.
Which for me is massively important as well as the technical ability.
Mm. Yeah, you mentioned Ovi Ajayi there. Are you ever the unfortunate one in training who has to try and tackle him? Or, because it seems getting the ball off that kid is just not going to happen.
No, not really. I'm not always up against him, but if I am, then I'll just watch the ball, really. Just try and watch the ball, and if I have to foul, I have to foul, you know?
Yeah, I suppose that's when you train the nastiness, yeah. Isn't it? What's I suppose with the shape at the moment that we're playing, a sort of 3-5-2, do you think that suits you as well as someone who used to be a winger to get all the flank in your sort of...
I prefer it because I don't like anybody in front of me. Mm. I like to try and get a cross in, or you know, and then try and get back in to defend. But I think it's becoming quite common now in football to play with wing backs, so it's quite important that you have a lot of stamina in the system. Mm. Because there's a lot of running that you have to do.
Yeah, and it's interesting, isn't it, that was sort of talked about, the teammates you had there, going back to players like Gorks and how it seems like a long time ago now, and actually taking into the account that you made your debut so long ago, you're effectively Reading's longest serving player now. And, I mean, you're 25, you're actually about 3 weeks younger than I am, so I don't really like the idea of this question myself, but do you feel senior in the team? Because the idea that someone who's 25 feels senior to me does feel a bit sort of unusual.
Yeah, I feel like one of the older guys, but there's players when you're young, you still got to have a voice. Mm. You got to still got to try and lead. Obviously, when you're older, you got loads of games, then you try and give some sort of experience to the younger players. But I always believe that everyone on the pitch has a role to do in the team, and you all have to talk. So mm. That's what the best teams do.
Do you feel like the longest serving player at this club?
Oh yeah, I've seen so many faces over the years. I feel like it changes every couple of years, you know, the team.
How was the club changing that time as well? From being, I suppose, what we're talking, 2010 was the sort of classic, I know the club twice a day now, but the sort of Reading Way sort of days and John Medeski and everything, to where it is now, different owners. How's the club changed?
I think it's changed with the modern game, you know, because I think back then they wouldn't, like, you'd try and look for someone who's on a free maybe, or you're a bit cheap on the money. But now, I think nowadays you have to spend if you want to do well, because now there's a lot of quality players. Yeah, unfortunately you have to buy a lot of money for
them. Yeah, yeah. As because we have spent, what's your impressions on, I suppose George Puskas is the one that fans find most interesting, because as a player he's a bit of an enigma, because we don't really know too much about him as a person, having, you know, played in Italy and everything. And as a striker, he seems to be sort of getting into the Championship, but maybe hasn't got there just yet. What's the sort of your sort of you know, how you first came across him, your sort of first impressions with him?
Oh, he's quality. Can see why he was at Inter Milan, and why he's doing well for Romania as well. In training, he's very good with his finishing, his movement is very, very sharp. And obviously, for anybody that's coming to England, they need a couple of weeks or months to try and get used to the way that we play over here, because it's not easy. It's always fast. There's never really a time where teams drop off and let you play. Everyone's in your face. So for me, I think he's done well so far.
Yeah, I suppose if you had a player that was coming over from overseas, how would you sort of describe the Championship to them as a league to play in?
I'd just say it's basically pretty much getting fouled all the time as a striker. You're always getting kicked around, but
yeah.
You know, off the ball, you never see people like punch, kick, stamp on your feet. You know, it's horrible just to try and get into your head, because they know you're from overseas, and they might think that you might be a bit soft, but George is very strong, and I'm sure he's getting used to it each game he plays.
Yeah, and it's, we saw that in the QPR game, and the QPR game I thought was just a really actually quite entertaining game as a classic sort of championship spectacle. And we saw in that Gareth McCleary get back into the onto the subs bench and onto the pitch. How, obviously away from the sort of circumstances that, that led to him being not in the team, but having him and Gunter back in the squad, has that been a sort of back to normal sort of feel about it, or was it like they never left?
It gives the firstly gives the manager a headache again, because there's more players that have to come available for selection, and plus they know the championship very well, and they know what's required each week to play at this club and also in the league, so it's, for me it's a plus that they're back.
And final couple of questions for me is sort of on you and your future, because I'm aware that your contract is up in the June, I think. Yeah. What's the sort of situation with that at the moment?
For me, I'm just enjoying playing football again. I'm not going to be worried about my contract or anything, because for me, like, playing football is right now at the moment especially is massive, because I never thought that would happen again. And I just want to try and get fit and get back to where I was before I got injured.
Yeah, and for Reading for the rest of the season, what is the sort of aim? Is there a clear aim within the club that sort of pushing for the playoffs is the goal, or is it just a case of getting up the table and taking it week by week?
Well, we have a really good quality inside. Unfortunately, it's not been where we wanted it to be over like the last 2 years. But there's a lot of games to go now, and we never know how, if we win quite a few games in a row, or you know, we have a good couple of months, we don't know where we could be right at the top. So for us, it's just trying to get a win each week, each game, and see where we go from there.
And yourself, by the end of the season, wanting to be fully fit and completely rid of any sort of demons in the knee?
Yeah, for me, I just want to, just like I said, get back to where I was before I got injured, because I thought I was doing really well, and try and play the best football I can.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much for giving us your time, and good luck for the rest of the season then, Jordan.
Cheers, thank you.
For all the latest Reading news, analysis and opinion, visit the website at thetilehurstend.com.